Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth
drama.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-Word, and I'm joined with my stunning co-host, Miss 100% in the building.
Stunning, huh?
Stunning.
I like that.
All right. Stunning and stunning. All at the same time. And if you want to holler at us, 646-929-2037 is the call-in number. Once again, 646-929-2037 is the call-in number. And if you got any questions, comments, concerns, something you want to add to the show and you don't want to call, feel free to email me, dick@smoothdrama.com. I will answer your emails personally, as well as me and Miss 100%. We are social networking champs. You can catch us on Facebook, tagged. You can catch me also on my yearbook, Twitter. You want to catch Miss 100%? Where can we catch you, Miss 100%?
I like emails because I like to give it a little personal touch, you know. So you can email me at imnotonbs@yahoo.com. imnotonbs@yahoo.com. And you can also catch me on Facebook. That's Miss 100% Smith on Facebook.
All right. And you can catch me on Facebook, my yearbook tagged. I'm Dick Hugger. On Twitter, you can follow me. I'm Smooth Drama. Follow me. Follow us. And join us socially, and we shall join and follow you back. That's the kind of people we are.
As Ms. That's just how we do.
That's right. Miss 100% said she won't get all personal and just be all up violating your space and all that.
Yeah. I want to get all in your business.
All up underneath your skin and everything. So if that's the kind of thing you into, we got you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, you can also check us out on our Smooth Drama page. You want to find out more about us, www.smoothdrama.com. Everything you want to know about us at Smooth Drama, except for our deep, dark secrets, are right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deep, dark secrets.
Deep, dark. You have to jump in the dungeon with us to find out the deep, dark secrets. That's how we live it.
I just had a flashback. Let's move on. No,
well, yeah. Speaking of deep dark secrets, I'm reading the news, man, and I ran across this where there's a sperm sniffing police dog, which helped solve rape cases in Sweden. And it's a German Shepherd, and his name is Rapport Opus, and it uses its nose to track down sperm at crime scene.
You do me a favor?
Yeah.
Can you repeat the dog's name again?
the name of the dog, see, you got me all messed up now, is Rapport Opus.
Okay. I thought you said something else.
Yeah, well. Anyway, I don't even want to know what that is. But investigators had believed a local man had forced a woman to perform oral sex on him. And so that's where Rapport, the sperm-sniffing dog in southern Sweden, comes in. to sniff up the evidence.
Wow.
This is to you, Ms. 100%. I just want to know how do you think they train to signal, you know, where it can like discern, like which one, how does the dog discern which sperm it is?
All right, now disclaimer: you have already said to me before in the past about being descriptive, sometimes overly descriptive, but wouldn't someone have to give him a sample?
Correct.
To train him, and I'm sugarcoating it, I'm trying to be, you know, but he would have to have some type of sample, and I don't think just one sample will do. So he had to have several samples from different individuals.
Right.
In order to, so I want to know, what nasty man?
Well, see, and this is where it goes into, like, I mean, because I wouldn't know, like, and not saying that you would know, but, I mean, sperms have different smells, right?
I mean, I'm pretty sure because everybody's body chemistry is different.
So you can smell, I mean, because what we're saying is because the dog keen sense of smell is so strong that the sperm does not even have to be leaking.
That's quite disgusting.
I'm just saying. Hey, this is
yeah.
That's what he's trained to do. So I mean, he can just like get all up in your crotch and like, "Earth, this the one." I wouldn't want to see it, but I'd be interested in the process of training this.
You know, this would be useful for guys to think that their wives are cheating on them. You know, hey, honey, we got a new pet. We got a new dog.
Yeah, I mean, but the dog don't speak English.
But he barks if he smells sperm. I'm thinking like a bloodhound now. Like if a bloodhound, they get on the trail or something, and then they start barking to alert them that, you know, this is the way to go. So I'm thinking that it would kind of work the same way with a sperm hound or a dog.
Yeah, you know what? That just it. I don't see how that would work. I could, that's a disaster waiting to happen.
I'm just saying.
I know.
But I will give them an A+ for innovation. I will do that because that is groundbreaking. That is very new.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Well, hey, I'm just trying to be positive, that's all.
All right. Well, speaking of being positive, and since we own sperm here, there's a sperm bank, a London sperm bank, which is launching an online database which allows you to pick your choice of sperm in relation to a man's dress sense and personality. The men will have had their appearance assessed by the clinic staff.
So somebody from the sperm bank is an authority on fashion now?
Pretty much, in London, yeah.
Wow.
Now, I mean, when I read that, I was like, wow, there's going to be sperm profiling.
You know what? I take that back. I give Bill my A+ for innovation.
I'm sorry. I thought that was funny because you're saying, okay, you're gonna judge whose sperm you want by how they dress, the recommendation. Like,
girl, he's dumber than a box of rocks, but did you see those Maoris that he had on? Oh, girl, pick him right there. Yeah, he's a sharp dresser. That's just, yeah, crazy.
Well, and basically, everybody who comes in there to donate a specimen obviously will come in dressed to kill. Cause they...
And I was about to say the same thing. You took the words right out of my mouth. So that's... okay, I took their A-plus back, my bad.
Well, I mean, and we are talking about over in London.
London.
They're on something different over there. I mean, because
yes.
This is the same place. You know how I feel about these surveys that they have, these
mm-hmm.
dumb-ass surveys.
Mm-hmm.
In Britain, there are people who they did a survey, hey, if they're deprived of the internet, they feel upset and lonely.
Because they don't have internet?
Yeah. They're saying that if they were cut off from the internet or whatnot, they'd be upset and lonely.
No, wait a minute.
That's what I like. Y'all need to take y'all asses outside. I mean, that's where people are. If you can't, if your internet's not working at home, there's nothing wrong with like opening up the door and going outside and seeing real people.
Right, go visit somebody, and call somebody over and invite them over. Read a damn book or something.
Well, I mean, and don't get me wrong. I'm an online radio talk show host. So, I mean, obviously, we're invested in people on the internet and whatnot. But still, at the end of the day, I go outside.
Exactly.
And the people who think, like, oh, my God, I don't have the internet, my life is over.
I would think that that's an addiction. Then it's more, that's not a necessity anymore. You're addicted if you feel like your life is over because you don't have the internet.
There's definitely something wrong with you. And then I'm reading another one of these super surveys where the tech savvy women prefer to surf the internet than have sex. And
I'll go ahead on with that. No, that what? They've been getting the wrong stuff. I was gonna say the other word, dick, but they've been getting the wrong stuff.
I mean, is that? I'm like, really? You
what?
Really? You would rather surf the net?
Oh my goodness! Poor thing.
But
I feel sorry for them.
But you know what? In their defense, I mean, they may be getting with other people who are more proficient in surfing the net than they are in surfing.
Yeah. I guess.
But you know what? In defense of that, also, I mean, with all the porn and stuff that's available for you to watch and kind of learn some techniques. I mean, you'd think that more tech-savvy nerds would be able to congregate together.
Yeah, that's true.
And be able to make it happen.
Yeah, and get something popping, for real.
Right.
Now, as far as, they want to surf the internet more than have sex? They like it better? I want to know what they're looking at.
I don't think it's looking at. I just think that it's their pool of influence around them is very shallow.
It has to be. It's just wow.
Yeah, I thought it was very very funny to
read. That's so sad.
Yeah, I mean, but
that's sad.
Because of the world we live in today, I guess it's not to be unexpected.
You have all types of things going on, and I guess nothing should be shocking anymore, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think we're a little too interpersonal. We don't know how to relate to each other. I mean, when people can relate more to their computer than they can to... each other.
Yeah.
And when you're picking the internet over like live sex, I mean, if you ever hear me say that, you know that the body snatcher got me, and I am being probed by an alien. And on that note, we're going to take our first break. This is HISD Rockin', also known as Space Up.
Slow down on the moonwalk, buddy. You got me feeling too good.
Knocking, she shaped potatoes like baked Doc Rotten. See face on flyers like Dayton, trying to exhale, but they still waiting. Weight was up, spaced up, changed my eating habits. We exercise daily, more brain for your cabbage. My mind stays free, it's Scotty P90. X to the next, like I put shit behind me. My own horn too, we in line with flute. To boot, bass kick, Bobby Hump to the loop. Earring like who? This be the flaze. We the taste of Texas, expensive for your plate. New water on the rocks, it's tasting so great. Seen green, not cheap, we drive by you skate. You reflect Lando, fit Marlon Brando. Godfather with a mic, like how I handle. Man,
laced up, moon water, gulp, gone off the throne in the hydrocarbon zone. Gliding on Drexler, 22 styrofoam. Welcome to the ages, that Mr. Poindexter. Sitting on, sipping on, ripping on cherry. Wood, that's mahogany. Sipping to the black embassy, where's equality? Follow me, feeling like a pilgrim in a colony. Board walk, board talk, building up the property. Building up monopoly, homestead raised me. Now I'm savvy franchise, but they can't trade me. Student Wood made me, old colored high up from slavery. Book of Talaferro, Pop Dixie, baby. Soul in the ocean and we rocking, knocking. Pictures off the wall, painting pictures in the hall, y'all. Images fall, y'all. Say so. Got me rocking, savvy rocking, equality rocking. I'm feeling good. Rockin', King Midas rockin', Soul One rockin', you feelin' good? Flash D rockin', E-Class rockin', MC rockin', hey, we feelin' good. I rock to the rhythm of the funky beat, skunks and heat clouds, double filled on the one, are you smellin' where I'm comin' from? Pots cookin', stove top, look out for the cops, got bacon, so the hot spoon's cold veins. Cannibal locks, the right side of bad brains. Yep, that's how we rock. Hard enough to make the fiends fiend right on the spot. Right off the block that auctioned off great granny and daddy. Slave to a rhythm that beat niggas and caddy. Black trunks, poop to build candy painted. My flow, Van Gogh, Linden Hill, watching me rock. Well, Norman Lear. Good times, weekend, no fear. Looky here, I hear.
It's our year. Go figure that. Compressed thoughts into words to convict your rap. Flow steady on the one, but two bring the synergy. Magnetic embedded four score implode melodies. Explode energies. I see IB. He running past MCs laced up, spaced up. Gone off the moon, water slurring these words, but I still slaughter on tap. Filling these gaps when the mic's passed. Touchdown. Mothership straight up, stripped out. We out.
Space Bunny rockin', Hardwick rockin', I'm feeling good. The KO rockin', Neot rockin', Cosmos rockin',
I'm feeling good.
C-Rose rockin', King Cars rockin', Concise Kill rockin',
I'm feeling good.
Radio Galaxy rockin', Bun B rockin',
Smoke still rockin'.
Hey, space up.
Together you got it. Smooth,
All right. Welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was HISD, the Houston Independent Spit District, rocking, also known as Space Up, because, as always, we trying to get our space up, not trying to get our space down, of course. Now, you know, me and Miss 100%, we on the front lines here. As we always feel like when people's rights is trampled, that we should holler about it. I don't understand why people aren't a tad bit more upset when the rights are brought up. You know, I'm always amazed that people are more concerned whether or not football and basketball or baseball, sports, your sports team, what they're doing is more important than your rights. I mean, typically, like, as a woman in Michigan, Julie Bass, who faces 93 days in jail for a vegetable garden, you know, she got a misdemeanor charge and a warning ticket for refusing to remove a vegetable crop from her front lawn. You know, I mean, and the thing is, Ms. Bass said she thought it'd be really cool for the neighbors and kids to see a front yard garden, but city officials don't appreciate a vegetable plot. I mean,
where is the break in the law in having a garden on your own property?
Yeah, well, you know, according
to... I've been doing that since forever. I don't understand.
Yeah, according to Ms. Bass, the disagreement stems from a gray area in the city legislation which allows for decorative planting in the front yard but does not specifically address vegetable gardening.
Okay, so is it in the specifics that she cannot have vegetable gardening in her front lawn?
Well, she did it after a sewage pipe tore up her lawn, and so she wanted to fix and make it look good. And for me, I don't see the problem. You know, I mean, it's a garden. I think all garden is good. I mean, being that I have a garden myself, you know, and the fact that she's going to face up to 93 days in jail
for having a garden,
not for committing no like crimes, no violent crimes, taking people out.
I'm less speechless about this one, really, because this pisses me off.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Well, I mean, I wonder about, you know, the world we live in when I can't even have a garden in my yard that I'm paying for.
What they want to do, pay taxes on the vegetables? Is that what it is? Is it because she's not a farmer, so she can't have, is that what it is? Is it a zoning law?
Man. You know, it's been technical for a while. They don't want you to be able to do anything with your property.
Right.
I mean, it's not even... I can see if you were talking about something defacing someone else's property.
Right.
You know.
Right.
This ain't tagging. This is, I got some carrots growing in my front yard.
Right. And I grew up with a garden. My dad used to grow cucumbers and greens and stuff. And it was in our, not on our lawn part, but it was like, you know, around the house in the front and in the back. And so to me, that just, you know, was a part of life. You know, people grow vegetables. They grow tomatoes, watermelon, and all of that. So what...
Yeah.
I mean, harm that she's doing.
Well, you know, we've been going that way. You know, I've been talking about the whole martial law thing forever and a day, where I can't have farm animals in my yard. You know, that's against the law. If you have a garden or anything on your property that they don't like, it has to go or you'll be fined or whatnot. Or, like, case in point, Jody and Timothy Burr sued by the Homeowners Association to remove a sign supporting their son in the Marines. They live in Louisiana, and they have a front yard sign that, you know, is supporting their son who's in the Marines.
So now that's a problem.
Yeah.
Let me guess. It doesn't make the neighborhood look all that pleasant because there's a sign or a fixture in their front yard.
Yeah. I mean, what the sign said is, "Our son defends our freedom."
And he does.
Yeah, and they because there's a ban on signs, they're saying that no sign of any kind shall be displayed to the public view on any lot.
That's just a bunch of restless ass people that don't have anything else to do but try to control other people's lives. They're miserable. They need to be with those women that like to text more than have sex. Maybe if they get themselves some, they wouldn't be so uptight about stuff like this. I don't know what the problem is.
Well, I mean, I have a problem with the fact that you can't do whatever you want with your property. I can understand if it's something that may be threatening as far as life goes to other people. If you have something in your yard that may hurt some people or whatnot, I get that. Planting poison ivy or something like that. But you know, other than that, I should be able to have a sign up. I should be able to paint all kinds of crazy stuff on my house. It's my house on my property that I'm paying for.
But see, that's what people get themselves into when they feel like, okay, we're in the upper echelon of society now, so we need to join a homeowners association. Why do we need to join a homeowners association? Isn't it good enough to just be a homeowner and be happy with that?
Well,
oh, no, but you have to associate yourself with other people that own their homes so you can walk around with your nose in the air like your shit don't stink. And that's what happens.
I mean, but part of that also is the homeowners association is kind of part of the deal. You can't really get away from that nowadays, unfortunately, and that is my point. I don't understand. You talk about homeowners association. I don't understand what good they do. It's like you pay them to do nothing. I have yet to see the benefit of a homeowners association. I mean, maybe somebody out there can tell me what the homeowners association, what they bring to the table that really and truly helps the homeowners.
Right.
I have yet to see the benefit.
Right. All I've ever heard of a homeowners association is doing is having meetings and telling people what they can do with inside or outside of their homes and what they cannot do.
Right.
That's in order to beautify the neighborhood, so to speak.
Right.
So that's all I've ever heard of. So I wouldn't.
As an artist, I look at it as they want to curtail individuality.
Yeah.
Because obviously with a homeowners association that says, hey, if you do something different, there's something wrong with you, you're bad.
Right. And then we get into that whole thing about if you don't fit into our little box, then we don't want you in our neighborhood.
Right.
And so that's another thing that the homeowners association does. They keep people out of their neighborhood that they don't think, you know, is good enough, or, you know, that people that don't agree with, you know, what they're saying.
Well, I think we can say it's the profiling, but nowadays with the recession being what it is, they'll probably take anybody that wants to buy a house right about now. If you can afford to pay to get in, they down to have you. They still want to try to control you. I mean, for me, I look at it, the control aspect. And these fools are telling me what I can and can't do on my property. That's my number one issue. I mean, another issue. In Frankfort City Council, they had a vote on making golf carts street legal. Because they're saying that, hey, if we make golf carts street legal, so long as they have headlights and turn signals and other safety equipment, it's good because gas costs so much. Now, my issue was, why aren't they legal from the jump?
Already.
You know, I've never understood why those vehicles, alternative vehicles, why they wouldn't be legal. You know,
I mean,
we think about it. Why can't a golf cart be legal? Why can't a go-kart? You know, you make a go-kart. If you can make a go-kart that has brakes and lights, and it can run off electricity or whatnot, why not? I mean, we are having a hard time with gas and how much it costs and whatnot. Why not go ahead on and legalize that? And it just, there's something inherently right about being able to break the bonds of the monopoly that's put.
And that's why it wasn't legal. Real quick, is out of Ohio, maybe 5 years ago, there was a guy who actually built his own vehicle from scratch. And we had a thing back then was called Ohio E-Check for emissions and things like that, you know, to protect the air quality and all of that.
Right.
And it passed E-Check and everything, but that car was taken away from him, and basically it was because he didn't purchase the car from one of the actual, you know, like GM or any place like that, because he made it himself, they wouldn't allow him to drive the car on the street, and they eventually took it away from him. But it was a real car made from other car parts and things, but he just built it from scratch.
Well, one of our bloggers, Ed24, says, where I live, you can get a ticket for riding a bicycle. Well,
that's in Ohio too. You can get a ticket for riding a bicycle there as well.
Well, I always thought that you could only get a ticket for riding a bike if you didn't have a helmet. You know, they require that you wear a helmet now. I didn't know that you. I mean, that's way past insane.
Now they have the new streets set up where they actually have bike lanes and stuff like that in the street. And so if you're riding a bike on the sidewalk in Dayton, you can get a ticket for riding a bike on the sidewalk.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, the sidewalk, if no one's on the sidewalk, it's the safest place to be. I mean, they want you to ride your bike in the street with the car.
They want you to ride your bike in traffic.
Well, and is located in North Carolina. I thank you, Ann. I will never ride my 12-speed in North Carolina. I can't afford these tickets. I'm way past broke. To add to the state coffers because I can't afford gas. And so you're going to give me a ticket because I can't afford gas and I'm riding my bike?
Mm-hmm.
That is not cool.
Crazy.
But, you know, speaking of not cool, once again, the whole martial law part is so galling. Fort Collins, they're exploring an ID checking system. I guess what was supposed to happen is they'll keep track, they'll have the system, and it will keep track of everyone who enters a bar. The scanners would be networked, making it easier for businesses and officers to track down those who start fights or cause other problems in the area. Now, imagine that for a second. They're going to scan you for going into a bar. And how do they propose? I mean, are we gonna have this universal ID card that they're talking about that's chipped up that they can locate you at all times? I mean, is this the precursor to that that everybody got the chip?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily in them, but on them, on their ID. That you'll be required to have, or you'll get in trouble.
Eventually, that's what it's coming to.
I can't believe that. I mean, I know if there's a bar that requires me to have this special ID, and they're gonna check my ID to get in, I'm not going there. I'm not. I'm sorry. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't think that I would want to go there either. But like I said, that's what it's coming to. It's already, Walmart already has a thing like that where you don't even have to use your, you know, they just started the, you know, what is it? They haven't implemented yet, but they've, you know, started, you know, the beta testing for it or whatever you want to call it, where you have a chip, of course, in your hand, implanted in your hand, and it has all of your stuff on, all of your financial information on there. And then also they have the thing with your medical records that they can, the chip that they can put inside your body, and you don't need your ID card for your insurance or anything. They just scan your hand, and you're in the system.
Well, you know what's funny? There was a movie that was about that Repo Man. Not a lot of people saw that movie. Forrest Whitaker and Jude Law, where they, you know, they're repossessing body parts.
Body parts, yeah.
And they had scanners on the people. And I know they'll use that, like, the logic would be because you have old people who may have medical emergencies. I know they'll go about that. And boom, you'll have people who will go for it. Or, like, I know Ann pointed out that 2013, they're starting to make plastic money. They want to do away with paper money. I mean, because obviously you can... There's no trail to paper money, but you will leave a trail with your debit card, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and some folks don't understand that would be about tracking you.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing
anywhere,
more,
everywhere.
Nothing less. You know, they'll say, oh, it's about saving money, you know, sacrificing. We'll save money on ink. We'll save money on paper. We'll save the trees. But it ain't about no damn trees. It ain't about saving no money. They don't care about saving no money. I mean, they've been talking about this debt ceiling and the votes for the debt ceiling. I mean, we have so much debt, I'm like, we can't even count that high. Can anybody count that high? Can you tell the kid? Well, not even kids. Can you tell grown ups? Okay, count to a trillion. Somebody That's count to a trillion for me. So when they talk about debt ceilings and all this other foolishness, I'm not buying it.
And it really bothers me, maybe it shouldn't, but it really bothers me that, you know, people are saying, Obama, oh, it's all his fault. But let me remind these people of something. When Bush decided to go to war, that first month, we were approximately $2 trillion in debt just from that war within the first 3 months. Within the first 3 months of the war, of them going over to Iraq.
Wow.
So I don't understand how all of a sudden it's Obama's fault that we're in debt when we were in debt before he was in office.
Yeah, we've been in debt since the 19th century.
So how is it Obama's fault?
So,
that's all I want to know. That's all I'm saying.
It wouldn't really matter. I mean, presidents are figureheads. It's somebody for you to be mad at. I mean, you know, everybody's gonna be mad at the president. Obviously, they're mad at this president because he's a black man. But I mean, you know, if he was a white guy, he wouldn't get as many death threats, but they'd be mad at him.
Mm-hmm.
On that note, we gotta, you know, just live life, man. This foolishness. I mean, but when I say live life, we gotta take control of life, enjoy it, but take control of it. And on that note, we gonna go on our second break here. This is Jura Shahid and Frankie Flowers. Worth living.
important to me because of the children I reach. Everybody I meet, all the places I've been, I never thought this would be. I never thought I could reach so many people overseas, but I am. Far from being over with, cool, calm, noble man, trying to live in the present. Because each and every day giving is a blessing. You never know what you got until you get it. Now it's gone and you mad because you really miss it.
Shahid and Frankie Flowers, Worth Living. Stay positive. Life is worth living, man. I think. Anyway.
Mine is, I know.
I know mine is, too.
People may not feel like their life is worth living, though.
But it is. Life is definitely worth living. You just got to make it happen for yourself. And speaking of that, speaking of making it happen, you know what time it is.
Yeah.
You know what time it is. It's time for us to jump on these dumbasses out here. Our dumbasses of the week. Would you like to go first, or shall I partake in my dumbass of the week?
I can go first.
All right. Ladies first.
All right. Thank you. All righty. Now, listen to this. Got a little bit of a twist to the story.
Uh-oh.
Police stopped Robert Watson, a Republican state representative from the wealthy town of East Greenwich, Rhode Island, at a police checkpoint in East Haven, and there was a strong odor of marijuana coming from Watson's car. He's a lawmaker in Toronto. Drug charges is one thing. This is what the Sergeant Gary DePalma said. A lawmaker who is arrested on drug charges is one thing, but Watson has been the focus of criticism recently over comments he made earlier this year about immigrants, drugs, and homosexuality. He made a comment that said, "I guess that if you're a Guatemalan gay man who likes to gamble and smoke marijuana, you probably think we are onto some good ideas here." So, needless to say, the members of the community have taken umbrage with those remarks. So now, not only did he get caught with, he was high while he was driving, smoking weed while he was driving, but they said that his eyes were glossy and bloodshot, and they asked him if he had been drinking. And he had said that he had two at a friend's house, and they said they smelled alcohol and marijuana, so he went ahead and agreed to the sobriety test. And then he says, I sometimes do sobriety tests on my friends while we're out at bars. The funny part about, the dumb part about it is that he was released. He didn't serve any time in jail. He was released from the police custody on a promise to appear in court and to face charges of possessing marijuana and drug paraphernalia and driving under the influence. And it said that it's also interesting that he's not facing any type of inquiries or calls for him to resign from his colleagues, despite the fact that he broke the law and he actually acknowledged that he admitted to smoking marijuana while he was driving and drinking while he was driving. He clearly broke the law, but nobody is saying string him up, kick him out of office. So he's my dummy.
Yeah, I mean, but he didn't show his penis on the internet, so it's a whole different ball game.
Okay, so when you show the penis, that means that, you know, that's the cutting point. That's the break of the cutoff point.
Drinking and driving, smoking and driving. You can do that. That's all good. But if you show the penis on the internet,
you out of here, buddy.
You out. That's it. Now, my dumbass of the week, who also is a slash hater of the year, it's a man in Virginia who is slashing women's butts. There's, according to the Fairfax police in Virginia, the suspect is described as Hispanic slash Latino, in his late 20s, approximately 5'6" in height and heavy set, which is damn near every Latino that we know.
Right.
Yeah, and so
that's the average.
Right. Anyway. He is slashing women on the ass.
Like, with a knife? Like, yeah. Cutting their ass?
As they say, is a box cutter or a razor.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, he's cut, like, 5 or 6 people. And now you think about this for a second. This is why I say he's a dumbass and a hater at the same time. He's a dumbass because... don't he know that ass is not to be cut? Ass is to be coddled.
That's right.
I'm just saying. And then he's a hater because he is cutting women on the... I mean, once again, the ass is not... why? What? I mean, see, this is that whole, you know, we talked about...
Don't try to figure it out.
You know, it just, you know, he's just watching. Maybe he's watching too much porn, and he sees the ass in porn. And he's like mad. He's like, I'm gonna cut that ass. I don't just, you know. I mean, as a lover of ass, I'm just like, I'm so appalled. I want to fly down to Virginia to help the cops catch this man. Like, yo, homie. So.
He's a dumbass and he's a hater.
He's down there in the South 100, so watch yourself. You know.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm going to have to.
I'm saying... and 24, you down there in the South, you see a guy, I don't mean to say profiling, but they say young Hispanic slash Latino, you see him, you know, watch your ass.
Yeah.
He's trying
to
catch you.
Wow.
I don't know what can be said on that.
It's not really funny, but it is.
Right. Well, speaking of something that not funny, you know, we got roughly 5 minutes left. No, we had a story, you know, everybody talked about Casey Anthony and the uproar behind her killing her daughter. And Miss 100% had a story.
Yes,
we
want
to touch on real quick.
Yeah, real quick, it's about the death of Kira Ishak. She lived here in Birmingham, Alabama. She's a 7-year-old girl that was starved to death by her parents. They said she died when her fragile body succumbed to an infection after months of deliberate starvation. They said that she didn't perish in a home with bare covers. It wasn't as if they were nasty or didn't have food. They had fresh fruit, sweets, shelves of groceries that filled the kitchen. But she had 5 siblings, and they were all being severely abused and made to, they would have 1 bowl of food per day for the 6 of them, and they were made to sit on the floor and eat it out of the bowl. And then they seemed like they were eating too much because they were hungry. They would get beat with a cane. They also said that that neighbors called Child Protective Services several times. Teachers called several times, and Child Protective Services actually visited the home and saw how bad of shape that the children were in, but didn't remove the children from the home. And this was just weeks before her death. And they're calling for, his name is, Mr. Raggett, I believe. He's the, I guess, the head of the Department for Child Protective Services, and it was his call, and he did nothing about it. And the two people that actually visited her home have been fired, but the people in Birmingham are calling for his job as well.
Right.
And he made a very arrogant statement to say that, I didn't tell anybody to abuse their kids. You guys are acting as if I told them to abuse her. Well, basically, you did.
Yeah, your job is to monitor that. And if you see kids that are malnourished, and I think we know here in the United States, extra skinny kids.
Yeah.
I mean, when right
she weighed 9 pounds, Dick.
Right.
She was 6 foot and weighed 9 pounds.
And we're talking about how kids are so obese and how they need to get out. When you see kids that are 9 pounds and they're not like 12 months.
Right.
But, you know, that's that whole people don't care. I mean, and I want to ride on that because everybody's important. You know, this is a story that's just as important as the other story. But people don't tend to think that way. I mean, sort of like, I like to draw the comparison. I was reading a story over in Swaziland, which is over in Africa, right next to South Africa, where some HIV-positive patients in Swaziland so poor that they resorted to eating cow shit so that they can take the drugs because you can't take the drug on an empty stomach. You know, these are similar atrocities. You know, one, people are starving a kid and people are looking the other way. And now we have Swaziland where people are starving and we're looking the other way. And
where's the help for them? Why aren't we flying planes full of food over there in fresh water? Why aren't we helping them?
Well, I mean, you know, people are saying, We can't help everybody, and all I'd say is then help the people who need help, because it seems like the people that we help with the money, those countries don't need our help.
No.
They're functioning countries. We didn't need to do nothing in Iraq, but we did, and so we spending all this money there. Afghanistan, another one. We could be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Swaziland need our help. Senators, Congress people who can't get a budget together, they don't need attention. But little girls who are starved to death by parents, they need our attention.
Yeah.
On that note, I want to thank you, Miss 100%, for being the great co-host that you are. I want to thank my bloggers for keeping me fresh and helping the show go along, because without you, the listener and the blogger, it's just me talking to Miss 100. So, for Smooth Drama, I'm Dick Hugger. For Miss 100%, we out.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you guys
smooth.
drummer. Smooth.